Luke 10:38, and we are talking about stop and listen. My wife one time turned around just out of the blue, looked at me and said, "You weren't even listening, were you?" And I thought, what an odd way to start a conversation. She said, she said, "I only have two major flaws. One of them was that I didn't listen very well, and the other one, well, I didn't hear that one." My neighbors are always listening to loud music, whether they want to or not. Mary and Martha, we have a story about them. Let's read this, Luke 10:38. "Now as they were traveling along," he, talking about Jesus here, "entered a village, and a woman named Martha welcomed him into her home. She had a sister called Mary, who was seated at the Lord's feet, listening to his word. But Martha was distracted with all her preparations, and she came up to him and said, 'Lord, do you not care that my sister has left me to do all the serving alone? Then tell her to help me.' But the Lord answered and said to her, 'Martha, Martha, Martha.'" Bless your heart. "No. "You are worried and bothered about so many things, but only one thing is necessary, for Mary has chosen the good part, which shall not be taken away from her." Jesus says Mary chose the good part that shall not be taken away from her. What was Mary doing? She was seated at the feet of Jesus, listening. Stop and listen. Martha, it was funny, bless her heart, she didn't even stop to let Jesus answer a question that she asked. She said, this is how we get this story. It's only recorded in Luke. But, "Lord, do you not care that my sister has left me to do all the serving alone? Then tell her to help me." Jesus couldn't get a word in edgewise. Martha, Martha, Martha. Now, the last 2 weeks, Pastor Temple's talked about servanthood. And I appreciate one of the things that he touched on in these sermons was about the importance of listening to God so we'll know how to serve and what to do. He actually ended last week with this challenge. Before you go out to serve, know who you are in Christ, what you have in Christ, and what you can do in Christ. You got to know some things. Then we're going to be able to serve better. And we're not serving blindly, but we're serving better and doing what God says. Even serving should begin and include with listening. We're going to have to listen to God to get these messages of what we can do and who God is to us and all this kind of stuff. Sometimes we have to listen. Proverbs 1:5 says, "A wise man will hear and increase in learning." Sadly, it seems that our culture is forgetting how to listen. I listened to a radio documentary the other day about this lady. She was a professor. She wrote a book, and it was about listening and the lost art of listening and how this is a talent that people in America seem to be missing out on and losing, the art of listening. She says it's a talent and it's becoming a lost art. She writes in this book how they did tests and they specifically taught children in school. They specifically taught them how to listen. And the test showed that these children were able to make better grades and easier. We're making better grades. It became easier to teach them to listen. Now, I started doing some research on this this week when I felt like this is what God wanted me to share. I found a neuroscientist that stated this. People don't get better at listening with age, but rather through practicing it as a skill. People think listening is a passive activity, like hearing. But hearing is actually something that requires activating several parts of your brain, says this neuroscientist. Who knows that hearing and listening can be two very different things, right? Think about how rare good listening is. If I were to ask you to think about five people, can you think of five people that you would say they are good listeners? Not average, but they are good listeners. Five people. Who can think up five people? Raise your hand. If you right off the top of your head, you think of five people that are good listeners. There's a couple. Very blessed people. Now, I won't ask you to raise your hand on this one, but if I asked, who in here believes deep down in your heart that you're a good listener? Most of you would raise your hand. At least that's what studies show. Turns out, those numbers somewhere don't match up unless the five people that you don't know of, none of them come to church here. But here's what I found out. It's common for doctors to interrupt their patients within 11 seconds of them telling about their symptoms. And patients normally need 29 seconds. Among managers who had been rated the worst listeners by their employees, 94% of them evaluated themselves as good or very good listeners. Get this one. In a poll, 1/3 of women in America stated that their pets were better listeners than their husbands. Hey, no clapping on that one. True story. Research shows this. Managers that practice listening and they try to develop their skill and effectiveness of listening, they will get, these are the benefits they get. They get more information from the people that they work with. They build trust easier with those people that they work with. They have a more honest dialogue. When someone thinks that you're listening to them, they are more open and they actually explore their own ideas and opinions a little bit more than if you just immediately shut them down, even with body language. They foster loyalty when they practice effective listening, and they experience less conflict. Now, I discovered this story about someone I want to tell you about. Her name is Betty Bigombe. She's from Uganda, and I've got a couple of pictures up here for you. She was raised in Uganda, and she became a member of parliament. Now, in this area, at the time that she was in parliament, violence was terrible in this area. A lot of killings, murders, and kidnappings because of tribal gangs and tribal wars, and they were going around killing just a lot of people in this time. And no one could figure out how to get them to stop doing this, all these wars. Betty Bigombe had an idea, and this is what she initiated, believe it or not. She said, I'm going to go visit all of these tribes, and I'm going to go talk to each tribal leader, and I'm going to sit down and listen. No one had tried that yet. What people tried to do is they got leaders in there to come and try to figure out how to reduce their conflict. Hey, if you want peace, this is what you should do. Hey, we need for you to do this, and you need to do this, and this is how this happens. But Betty didn't do that. She went around to each of the tribes, got to know them, and just spent time with them and listened, asked questions, wrote notes. She was able to get more done for the peace in that area than anybody else had ever done, and it was only because she just stopped to listen to them. They begin to respect her so much that they called her Megu, which is Ugandan for mom. Now, she's also famous for this quote, which I thought was pretty relevant for today. She said, "Even the devil appreciates being listened to." Listening. Shh. Listen. Luke 8:18 says, "Take care how you listen." Remember also, just because you are actively and effectively listening to someone does not mean that you agree with them. You can intentionally listen to someone and let them speak properly and actually have counter opinions to yourself without trying to prove your point or win an argument. Right? Just listen. How well do we listen to people around us? And more importantly, how well do we listen to God? I found in my studies this week some colleges and universities that have done some research. I put together some tips that I got from them, and this is what they come up with. I want us to relate these tips and these instructions, not just for our own benefit learning to listen better, but learning to listen to God better as well. Number one, they said, look people in the eye when you're in conversation. Show that you're listening. Number two, be fully present. And I like this one. This applies to my prayer life as well. You know, sometimes prayer life, when we talk about prayer life and our time in prayer and our communication with God, it includes maybe before meals, maybe as we're drifting off to sleep at night, or maybe when we're doing something else because, hey, I could talk to God and actually be, you know, productive and do some laundry or something, right? Now, talking to God constantly is a good thing. That's fine. The Bible says to do that. But there's a time when we need to stop and get our head straight and listen. Put your phone down for a while and listen to God. We get so busy that we try to combine having a meeting with God and doing something else. We can talk to God constantly and we can listen to God constantly, yes. But there's a time to grow our relationship. We need to stop, sit at the feet of Jesus, and listen. Number three, it said, hold your tongue. Allow the speaker to finish each point before asking questions. We get ideas and we start interrupting. Sometimes it's with our body language. Have you ever been talking to somebody and all of a sudden you could tell by your body language that you might as well not talk to them anymore because they have checked out? Anybody got kids? All right, then you know what I'm talking about. They've checked out because of your body language. Hold your tongue and remember you don't have to prove anything. Number four, be self-aware. Here's a big one. Be self-aware. Good communication skills require a high level of self-awareness. When you're in a conversation with someone, this is an example of being self-aware. When you're in a conversation, ask yourself on the inside, say, what percentage of time of this conversation have I dominated, have I talked, and what percentage of time have I allowed the other party to talk? See if it's 50-50, at least. So, let's carry this over into our prayer life. How much time am I listening to God as opposed to how much time I'm talking? Sometimes it seems like we feel like God is a silent partner in our lives. We show up to a meeting, prayer time. We express our grievances. and thank you for this and that, blah, blah, blah. Okay, I'm out. I'll see you next time. And we begin to view God as the silent God that always listens. Now, he does always listen. But if we realize, truly understood, how much God wants to speak to you and speak into your life and drop information into your life, if we knew how much he wanted to do that, I think we would be shocked and we might have a tendency to stop and listen. If anybody knows how to get anything done correctly, that's going to be God. Right? Respond, number five, respond to their communication, not your own inner dialogue. What happens? I see conversations like this happen all the time. Someone tells an interesting story, and then the next person just continues to tell another story that reminded them of this story, and on and on and on. Sometimes we need to stop our minds from thinking of our own stories and say, what is it that you're saying? Tell me more about your story. And ask questions. Instead of, hey, that reminds me of a story. Let me tell you about this one. If I counter your story with my own story without first commenting on your story, what I'm really saying is my story's way better. You with me? Right? I believe that. When we're talking to God, you know how easy it is to get off track and you start thinking about all these other things? I'm in my prayer time, and all of a sudden I remember that mistake that I made playing the bass this morning. I'm like, I knew that was a B minor, and I didn't know. And, you know, you start thinking about this, and I need to write that down on that. And so you start having all these to-do lists that you have. You got to focus on what God is saying, and don't let your own thoughts begin to dictate the conversation. We think we listen, I believe. We think we do. But it actually requires intention and practice. And I believe that it's a skill worthy of developing in our lives. Be intentional about it. Here's why. Mark 9:7. Get this. Mark 9:7. Says, then a cloud formed, overshadowing, and a voice came out of the cloud. This is my beloved Son. Listen to him. Very few times in the Bible, and even fewer times in the New Testament, did God speak audibly. And what did he say? This is one of the main times. And what did he say? He said, listen. Shh. Listen. We have so much going through our heads, right? We have so much information. We have these phones and these tablets and these computers and TV and radio, everything, you know, everything is trying to get into us. Tech companies literally have algorithms that are designed to keep your attention longer. That's their purpose. What ad or what clip or what picture can I put on your phone next to keep you interested? They make money by doing that. We have all of these things. That's why sometimes we have to stop. Clear your mind so that you can hear what God is saying. I had a preacher friend one time said God started waking him up early every morning and just pouring into him ideas and ideas. But he could no longer sleep in. He was like, God, what's the deal? And he said, God told him that, listen, your brain is so busy all day long, I cannot get a word in edgewise. If I'm going to talk to you, I'm going to have to wake you up and get stuff in there before your brain gets going with your daily work. Let God have time in your head. You see, I, in my studies, I realized or found out that the brain can process information 4 times faster than a speaker can speak. So that's why it's easy for us to get sidetracked. That's why we start thinking about another story. We start thinking about this. We start thinking about this. What we have to do is learn and train ourselves, stop and learn to listen. Stop, realize what's going on, be self-aware, and learn to listen. How is God going to get information to you if your brains are always active? Remember a couple of weeks ago I taught about when Jesus fed the 5,000 and 4,000, remember that? And we looked at one of the differences that he did. One of the things that he did the same, though, was interesting. Here's what he did both times. He got all the people together and he said, okay, now just sit down. Stop everything that's going on and just sit down. Mark 6:39, and he commanded them all to sit down by groups on the green grass. Mark 8:6, he directed the people to sit down on the ground. Sometimes we need to stop the busyness of your life and listen. What we do is we place ourselves in a position to receive from God. Now, I put myself in this situation, and I would have failed miserably. I guarantee it. There's a bunch of people out by this lake. Jesus is teaching, and it's amazing. This guy is great. Something special about this. But we're out here, and we're a long ways away from anywhere to get food. And we've been out here a couple of days. I'm hungry, and I realize, and I hear the disciples talking, oh, they need to get some food into these people. I mean, this could be dangerous in a little bit, 5,000 people at least. So what are we going to do? Well, I know what I would do. I would automatically just want to spring into action. I'd figure out how to make a fishing pole. I'd look for some line. You can make hooks out of bones that you find on a dead fish or something. Or I'd make a spear. Or I'd look for some nets. Or take some people's cloaks together and make a little net. I'd have gone fishing. And the disciples, Jesus up there, and they're about ready to start breaking up the bread, said, sorry, you need to come back over. Okay, I'm gonna just catch some fish real quick. I think I can help you guys out. I'm going to catch some fish. Sir, you need to come sit down on the... I'm just fishing. I'm trying to help. I'm trying to help, Lord. Sir, come sit down. Stop and listen. Now, thankfully, there is a time to go fishing. Hallelujah. Did you hear what I said, church? There's a time to go fishing. I like fishing. But there's a time we need to sit down at the feet of Jesus and listen to his words like Mary did. In this culture, that is difficult to do. There's not a lot of people that seem to do that. But when we do this first, we stop. We set ourselves up to receive from God. It's a statement of faith. Psalms 46:10, one of my favorites. Psalms 46:10. Cease striving. King James Version says, be still. Cease striving and know that I am God. Do you realize what it sounds like with this scripture is that I'm not truly going to understand and realize and be aware of the true nature of God and his abilities until I cease striving. Be still and know that I am God. Quiet your mind. Now, here's what's interesting. I heard on a documentary TV show something about, they were talking about going out into the woods and sitting down and listening to the birds and the trees and the wind and stuff. And I forgot what the statistic was, but I did some research. There's some medical benefits and physical benefits to quieting your mind that I think is very interesting. Number one said it will improve your memory function. It will reduce stress. They're talking about going somewhere and maybe for an hour, 30 minutes or an hour, just sitting in quiet, meditating. That doesn't happen very often, right? Just meditating. Don't be scared of the word meditating. It's in the Bible. It's a good thing. Meditate. Think about the goodness of God. Said it reduces stress. It helps your concentration and your mental clarity. It enhances creativity. Stimulates brain growth. Fights insomnia. And it's actually good for your blood pressure. Medical tests show that. Just take some time to rest. Did you know that any of you are active bodybuilders? I see a couple that probably should. When bodybuilders work out, do you know when and what day their muscles grow? Their muscles don't grow on the days you go to the gym. Actually, you're tearing your muscles down. Your muscles grow on what they call rest day. That's when your muscles grow. If you continue to do exercises, you will get in shape and you'll get toned, but your muscles don't grow because you don't give them a time to rest. But we are bombarded with information constantly. I feel that during these times that we're in, truth is so hard to come by, right? Who knows what it is? Who knows what to do about COVID? Who knows why there's COVID? Who knows how to prevent it or anything else? I don't think anybody does. Truth is hard to get to come by, but there is some peace and comfort that we can have if we'll stop and listen to God. Now, a lot of times in sermons like this, I get this question, and you may have asked this already. How do I know it's God's voice? Can I really hear God? Am I going to understand Him? I don't think I've ever heard God. Common questions. Don't be afraid of asking God common questions like this. Bill Johnson, one of my favorite pastors, says this. He said that if you are a Christian, you have heard God. If you've given your life to Jesus, you have heard God. You cannot hear, you cannot become a Christian without hearing God. It's Him that draws you in. You have to go through Jesus to get to the Father. You have heard God. It's just different types of communication, isn't it? See, a lot of times people are waiting on this video or to play through their mind's eye. And God can talk to you like that, but He probably won't. He might. He can. Some people are waiting for these words, this voice to come to them through the ceiling or something or in their head. And Jeffrey, yes, Lord, you know, like it happened to Samuel. God can do that, but He might not. It's not how He normally talks to people. Our spirits interact with each other. There's a knowing in your spirit that is your communication. Paul talks several times about how our spirits interact with the Spirit of God, who also lives on the inside of us, so we can speak to each other. 1 Corinthians 2, 9 and 10. Eye hath not seen, ear hath not heard, neither have entered to the heart of man
that which God hath prepared for them that love him. But I have revealed them unto you by my Spirit. For the Spirit searcheth all things, yea, the deep things of God. There's a way that we communicate with God that's very different than we might communicate with each other. But it's just as real, if not more so, and very important. And we're only going to be able to really understand that and be aware of it if we will learn to listen, if we will stop our busy lives and learn to listen. Our own spirits may not be able to get information into this head. That's what I'm guilty of. My brain is very active. Sometimes too much so. Does anybody else feel like they have a brain that's way too active to stop and listen? Everything is musical to me. And I've shared this once before, so pardon me if you've heard it. But everything is musical. So I'm coming here one day, for example, and I'm practicing being quiet and just silencing my mind, and being calm and quiet. No music or anything else. It happens to be the day that Dave is vacuuming upstairs. And so I hear his vacuum start, and he's going over a couple of different areas, like carpet, thick carpet, and then wood floor. Exit light. And all of a sudden I'm singing Metallica and I'm supposed to be praying to God. I am so sorry, Lord. I have no idea. It's totally Dave's fault. Totally. So my mind is very active, and I have to learn, I have to train my mind to stop so that I can hear God clearly. What happens when we do that, I believe, is this. When we clear our minds and we clear our time, we're saying, God, I'm focusing on you. God, you are a priority. I'm meditating on your word and your excellence. What we do is we move ourselves from striving and we place ourselves in a position of receiving from God. We place ourselves in a position of open communication. And that's complete trust. That's when that complete trust is happening. I want to go fishing so bad to help all these people, but Jesus says, sit down on the green grass. And I have to say, okay, well, that means I have to trust you to do that. I don't see enough food to go around, Lord, but you told me to sit down. Sometimes we need to sit down and let God handle it, because I want to handle it. I want my hands on it. I can fix this. That's our culture, right? I can fix this. Sometimes God says, will you just sit down and let me fix it? He said that when he said, cast your anxieties on me. I care for you. When we do that, then he is able to truly handle our situation like only a loving God can. Isaiah 54, he awakens me morning by morning. He awakens my ear to listen as a disciple. Is God calling you today? Is God speaking to you? Are you hearing God? Are you feeling that tug in your spirit? Is God wanting to talk to you? Maybe God is saying, at least you need to slow down on occasion and listen to me. Stop what you're doing. Shh, listen. Revelation 3:20. He says, behold, I stand at the door and knock. If anyone hears my voice and opens the door, I will come in to him and will dine with him and he with me. Sometimes as Christians we get so busy that we become adapted to this keyhole relationship with God. I hear him. We're pretty close, but he's on the other side of the door. God wants to have a relationship with you. He's knocking. He's calling you. You hear his voice, open the door, let him in. He wants to hang out. And sometimes we forget that and treat him like a silent partner. What if we viewed prayer as not something that I initiate? What if we viewed prayer as something that God initiates? We're going to a meeting. God called the meeting. He made out the agenda. He's got all the information. I show up. I place my grievances there. Say, thank you, bum, bum, bum. Okay, you guys have a good day. God called the meeting. I didn't call the meeting. I just show up. God's waiting for you to show up to listen. He initiated communication with you, and he's waiting for you to show up. Do you need to show up today for the first time, maybe? Jesus is knocking on your door. He wants you to open up and let him in. Will you bow your heads with me, please?